In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stephen's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This time for your coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock and Little Stephen's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening. Please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. My guest is New Jersey rocker Bobby Mahoney. His latest single, Smoke and Drive, is out on Wicked Cool Records, and it's the recent coolest song in the world. Let's give that a listen, and afterwards I'll be back with Bobby for your coolest conversations in Little Stephen's Underground Garage.
Burning, but still could be faster riding. Give him the finger highway, lest the memories linger. Oh, oh, oh.
It's the Mighty Manfred with your coolest conversations, and today I am yakking it up with New Jersey rocker Bobby Mahoney. His debut album, Another Deadbeat Summer, that came out last year on Wicked Cool Records. His latest single for the label, Smoke and Drive, that's the recent coolest song in the world. How are you, Bobby?
I'm great, Manfred. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. I mentioned Smoke and Drive, and that's the recent coolest song in the world. It means it's in the running to be the coolest song of the year, right? Coolest song of the year. So have you been spreading the word to your peeps?
Absolutely. Yeah, my father has been like waking me up every day by texting me, vote, you know, as if I'm, you know, not, you know, also bothering everybody I know too. But my parents are certainly on it.
Well, I love that. So you had the album last year, so you also had a coolest song in the world in the running for last year. Have you ever voted for anybody else?
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, there's so many, you know, great people in the running, it's kind of hard not to. And so that's why just even to be included on the list at all is kind of, you know, incredible for us. So yeah, you know, definitely try to vote for our pals, you know, for sure.
Well, all right. Well, good luck.
Thank you so much.
I was looking at the songwriting credits, and this guy, Matty Carlock, is listed there as a co-writer. Who is Matty?
So Matty's a great singer, songwriter, and producer. He's from Jersey, and then he was out in LA for a bit, but he's back in Jersey now. He has his, foot in a couple different camps as far as, you know, hardcore and punk, as well as, like, you know, hip-hop production as well and songwriting. And he also is just a great, you know, rock and roll songwriter as well, and writes a lot of great, you know, pop rock songs and, you know, punk elements. And he and I have been friends for a while, and he reached out about me writing to a track that he had. He's like, I kind of wrote this thing with guitars and drums, and I don't have a melody or lyrics yet, but it seems like it'd be up your alley. Do you want to take a crack at writing to the track? So I said, yeah.
Well, first off, you mentioned you've been friends for a while. How did you guys, what was the circle that brought you guys intersecting?
It was either a combination of like the Danny Clinch Transparent Gallery in Asbury Park, Danny Clinch, the photographer, his sort of orbit, or Jesse Malin's orbit, which is the, we all love Jesse here. So Jesse and Maddie are friends as well. And so I forget exactly where we connected. I think the first time I ever played with him, though, was there was a radio event in Long Branch, New Jersey. And I think we were both playing acoustic. And this was probably over 10 years ago. And I reminded Maddie of this the other day, actually. And he was like, barely remembered it. It was like, oh, that was you kind of thing. But yeah, so we've known each other, been in a couple of these circles for a while. And then he did a Light a Day benefit with us a couple of years ago, which Light a Day is a great foundation that raises money for Parkinson's research and awareness and other related illnesses. And he's awesome. And he's, again, everything from like, you know, rock punk songs like Smoke and Drive to like pop to like hip hop and like, rap stuff. He's pretty got across the spectrum, which is cool. So, and he sent me this. It was a challenge for me, like not like a homework assignment, but it was like write to this track and see what you get. It was kind of like, you know, Mad Libs or whatever, you know.
And it was just out of the blue? I mean, has he sent you other things, or this was just out of the blue? Or
this was the first one that we did, and like, you know, first and I think only one we've done so far. But it was great. It was really fun for me to do it again as like something that have an opportunity to write to something like this was different for me.
Have you guys have you ever collaborated with anybody else?
Yeah, certainly. So like our song "Another Deadbeat Summer," for example, I co-wrote that with our good friend John Alba.
So what do you like about collaborating? What's good about that?
Oh, I find I definitely do a lot of my best work when I'm bouncing ideas off of somebody.
Yeah.
So like whether it's I was saying I co-wrote "Another Deadbeat Summer" with our friend John Alba, who was in the band in, you know, early on and when it started. And he's written a bunch of songs. Dan Cohen, a friend of ours, as well as we've co-written. Even the band now, like Andrew and James and I, we bounce ideas off each other, and I bring stuff to them and they go, "That's good, let's take it this direction," or, you know, "Nah, what else you got?" Sometimes is a good thing to hear too. And even like in working with Wicked Cool, like getting to show demos to like, you know, Jeff and, you know, little Steven and Kurt, you know, and the whole, and Louie and the team, it's great to get that feedback in real time to like, you know, these are feelings. Sometimes I'm sure you can understand, like we get too close to it ourselves. And I just try to write as much as possible. And then it's like, well, something I won't see something that other people see, you know, or sometimes I have to be like, "Hey guys, I see this, it's not there yet, but like, bear with me, you know, believe in it a little bit and then we'll get it there." And yeah, that sort of that collaboration definitely helps, because ultimately we're all trying to just make the best song possible. Right.
Right. I guess the thing that's difficult is this notion of you bringing in something and then whoever you're working with, they're bouncing ideas off of. It's like the one thing that you think is like really important to the song. "Yeah, let's not do that." Or, "I don't like that twist." And you're like, "No, man, that's the whole reason I'm writing this." So I like your explanation of let's bear with me. Let's keep this thing in here and try and work with it first.
Yeah, because sometimes it's a mix of like, you know, I have to find that balance of how prideful or how much do I need to fight for this thing, you know? Because sometimes I don't have the best answer or I don't have the solution. So sometimes I have to sort of feel out what people might give me a couple of options and I have to feel out what's best. But sometimes, yeah, it's something that's even like in other projects, be like, "Okay, I'm not going to record this now because it's not either the right song for the right project." Cause like what I'd like it to be isn't what the project calls for.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful and I'm fortunate that I have like a fair amount of material to choose from at a given time. So it's like, okay, if this song doesn't fit for this project, there's something else that will, you know, or I just save it for when it is the right time. Other times it's the whole thing about, they say you have to, you know, kill your darlings, and, you know, you can't be too close to any of the songs because it's like, you know, you gotta be able to chop them up and, you know, sew them together with other ideas.
With this tune, so you wrote the lyrics and the melody, that's my understanding. So what did you take as your inspiration?
So I think Maddie had, I think the file name was just like Smoke and Drive or something like that. So I was like, it was just totally like a working title for him, just like as a placeholder, but I kind of liked it. And it kind of just screamed nostalgia, driving in like high school or college time with your friends, listening to whatever on the radio, you know, making questionable decisions, perhaps, you know, that's just what screamed to me. And so then from there, I took a first pass at the melody and the, you know, the lyrics. And we kind of came back together and Maddie was like, "I like this, I like this, I like this. Let's tighten this up a little bit. Let's make this more concise." And then I also then changed some of the chord progression a little bit in certain spots.
Yeah.
And then when we brought it to like the band, the full band, and then, you know, James and Andrew, and at the time, JC Soon was playing bass with us, and he's a great friend of ours. So we then kind of did our thing with it. And then Jeff Sanoff came to the rehearsals and started, you know, making his suggestions and, you know.
Wait, let's remind people who Jeff is, the engineer there at Renegade.
Yeah.
And when you were in the studio with him, then he was also acting in the capacity as a producer.
Yeah. Yeah. So myself, Maddie, and Jeff all produced the track together. And so Jeff definitely, you know, helped us, again, form it a little more, make it a little bit more streamlined, a couple like feel changes here and there. And then even like some elements of it didn't come together until I was recording guitars, like in the moment, and like decided to add a couple of things in that ended up being like relatively hooky. So yeah, it was just interesting how it comes together from the original sort of file that Maddie sent me to the song that's out and is one of the coolest songs, you know, in the world this year, you know. So
the lyrics you mentioned, broken pieces and a favorite shirt. Did you have any accidents with your own adventures, smoking and driving?
No, thankfully, knock on wood, no, I have not. And I'm thankful for that. But it was some of that imagery or the idea of like, you know, whether it's actual pieces or, you know, more, figurative, but the idea of there being these, you know, ghosts you can't shake, you know, that kind of things, you know, that was sort of some of the inspiration for that. And I forget if we did favorite shirt or favorite songs in the second verse first. I forget which we had first and then which we diverted to for the other one.
For this song, you're taking inspiration from, you know, that period of time in your life. Are a lot of your songs like a first person narrative when you're recalling a certain time or event?
Yeah, a lot of them. Maybe it's not always so like it was this day, this time, this happened.
Yeah.
Always, it's not so always like narrative in that way.
Yeah.
But a lot of times I can trace the feelings or like the emotion that I'm trying to provide to, like whether it's like a snapshot in my head or like a particular time. Like another Debbie Summer, for example, again, like that was based on like a high school party that I went to. And that my friends were then like doing the whole, like took pictures beforehand so they could try to put the stuff back before mom and dad came home the next day. Like, you know, it was like a high school movie, a cliche all over the place. And that's what that song kind of became, but it was sort of my lens on it. And that's what I kind of feel like all my songs are. Cause that's, you know, all we have is our perspective, you know, sometimes. And, you know, so I try to use my camera or my lens to show, either what I've seen or maybe something I'd like to have seen in that way. And like, you know, yeah, I don't necessarily, most of my friends were kind of goody two shoes. So like most of us weren't driving around smoking or drink, you know, and doing any of that kind of stuff for the most part.
Sure. Just in case your parents are listening. That's a good.
That's it. You know, if anything, I think they were, you know, if anything, they were the worst ones, I think. So, you know, I don't know. But not while I was around, of course. They were, you know, very responsible when I was around. But growing up, though, I think they were pretty tough kids growing up, I think.
Well, we had spoken about you as working with collaboration. So if you're working wholly as yourself, developing a song before you're bouncing it off with anybody, are you the type of person that keeps a notebook or a little recorder? Are you always jotting things down? Or does something just come to you like a whole segment at a time? Or how do you do that?
Yep. So I got my current notebook, which is, it kind of ends up almost being end up like a scrapbook in a way too, because I end up like taping stuff into it or stickers from certain spots or like, you know.
Do you do any doodling in it?
Nah, you know what? I kid around with my students that I play the guitar. I'm not an art teacher. So anytime I have to do anything, drawing or anything, it's pretty bad. Like maybe like little, like just like sort of squiggles or whatever, just like absent-minded stuff, but nothing really. I am always using my phone as well. Like the voice memos is nothing but just me humming or like whispering or, you know, singing out of tune into the phone or just like, well, it's always, even like this morning, I find I get a lot of ideas when I'm late for work, trying to leave the house. And I'm just like, oh, I'm already getting out. I need to stop and be an extra 2 minutes late, 'cause I need to sing this idea into my phone.
About your work, you're still doing the guitar teacher thing. You just alluded to that. Is that right?
Yeah. I'm actually here now in between sessions. I teach at a private school called Fusion Academy. And then I teach at I do private in-home lessons and over Zoom as well. So if anyone was looking for guitar lessons, hit me up.
Well, how would they, if they're looking for guitar lessons, how would they track you down? What's the best way?
Well, our website, BobbyMahoneyMusic.com, or just shoot me an Instagram message or Facebook, Bobby Mahoney Music. It's where, you know, pretty catch-all stuff there, whether you're trying to reach out for the band or whatever. Just, you know, book us, let us know, you know, after you can reach out.
And right now, you do have room for students?
It is filling up at times. If anyone wants to do anything at like 9:30 in the morning Eastern time, you know, that's lots available at the moment some days. But it does depend. So I do have people all around the world though that I teach from time to time though. So
that's great, all around the world. So where in the world?
I have someone in Germany right now, and then Canada right now, and then have I had someone in the UK yet for guitar lessons? I'm not sure, but you know, I'm open to it.
You mentioned guys in the band playing, you know, playing recording on the recording and sort of getting able to send off and sort of getting everything to coalesce. When are you guys playing out again? Because the thing I see online is a show in January, like January the 16th at the Stone Pony. Is that the next gig?
Yeah, that's the next full band gig. That's where that's for Light of Day, that organization I was talking about before, that, okay, for the Parkinson's awareness.
Yeah.
We're at the Stone Pony on the 16th with Willie Nile, Joe Grushecki,
wow,
Danny Clinch. Yeah, it's a really great lineup. We're excited to be part of it. And then after that, and then I think, yeah, we'll be around for sure. There's other dates coming up as well that we haven't announced yet. We're always... one of our other songs, Moth to the Flame, I say we're like a bad, bad penny. We just keep turning up, and that's us, you know. So we'll be around for sure. We have a couple of tricks up our sleeve, and we're working on the next record. And so it's all very exciting, and I'm thankful for the opportunities through Wicked Cool and everything like that.
Okay, well, that brings up, and I've got two questions. First, I want to find out more about, so this gig is going to be next month at the Stone Pony. You're there in Asbury Park, right? That's where you're based?
I'm based closer to New Brunswick, actually. So everyone always assumes I live in Asbury because of the amount of time I'm there.
Yeah.
And I was even just saying to somebody earlier, if you threw a rock in Asbury over the last 15 years, there's a good shot it hit me. You know, I'm there quite a bit, and I do love it there. It is kind of like my home away from home a little bit.
All right, your home away from home. So like playing the Stone Pony, that's an important, pretty important place to play, right? If that's got the, you know, the connection to the music history and stuff. And
yeah, that's like Mecca for me. Like growing up, if I, you know, I was like 10 years old, I pretty much learned the guitar to hopefully get to play the Stone Pony one day. And I'm very thankful that I've been able to do so multiple times and many times over. And that feels like home to me as far as like music, you know. This, the Stone Pony definitely feels like home.
All right. So you were talking about, getting to the studio, Renegade Studios, and Jeff Senoff recording, producing. When you guys went in there to do Smoke and Drive and the B-side Machine Gun Blues, did you record any other tracks around that time?
Yeah, so we're working on the next full length. So we've been tracking a bunch of other new songs, a couple brand new ones, and a couple of older songs that we're revisiting and re-recording from the ground up. Because the last record, Another Deadbeat Summer,
yeah.
That was all songs that was previously recorded that we remixed and sort of remixed and remastered, but they were all pretty much existing recordings. This next one will be entirely all brand new recordings that we're doing with Jeff in New York. And everything's been really great so far. And Smoke and Drive is kind of the tip of the iceberg a little bit.
So you think we'll be seeing that by like next summerish, summertime, or how far along are you?
Hoping hopefully sometime next year for sure. And like, you know, Kurt and I are talking about that as we speak.
When you say Kurt, you mean Kurt,
the wonderful Kurt Baker,
runs Wicked Cool Records.
Yeah. And he's a great artist, and he's become a great friend in all this as well. So yeah, and he runs the label, and so he's great.
All right. Let's talk about the B-side. We're going to go out with that in a moment. It's the cover of the Social Distortion song, Machine Gun Blues. For those guys, it's like on 2011's album, Hard Times and Nursery Rhymes. First off, how big a fan of Social Distortion are you?
I like them a lot. I'm definitely not like I couldn't name deep cuts, you know, so people listening be like, oh my God, he didn't know this song or whatever. But I definitely like them a lot. And as far as looking up to them for their vibe and their sound and their impact, certainly a big fan. And seeing them play that Machine Gun Blues on, I think it was Conan O'Brien's show, when that was a new song, like around like 2011, did you say it came out?
Yeah.
That was pretty formative, and that was really awesome to see that. And it stuck with me enough to want to cover that song down the line.
And were you guys doing, I think I read someplace that you had been playing it live for a while or not?
Yeah, we'd been doing it here and there. We usually do like one cover a set typically, and we change it out depending on the, you know, the vibe of the show or what we're kind of feeling on the given night. So that one was kind of in our rotation. And we hadn't done much recording of covers. Like, we have done it occasionally, but we mostly, if we have the time, it's mostly original stuff. So it was fun to have like sort of like that, you know, a homework assignment to like, okay, let's do a cover. And that was one that we kind of, you know, felt we could do well. And we brought in Machine Gun Blues and for Smoke and Drive, we brought in Mark Macefield to play the keys. And he's an amazing keyboardist who plays with Dave Haas and Will Hogue and Hoge. And he was in a band called Outside the Box that I grew up from in Asbury Park that I grew up really liking. So getting to have him play keys on the record, shout out to Mark. He did a great job.
Well, cool. All right, Bobby, thank you so much for speaking with me on our Coolest Conversations.
Thank you, Manfred. I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
We're going to take a listen now to the B-side, Bobby Mahoney's latest single, his cover of Social Distortions, Machine Gun Blues, and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Carnation and a pinstripe suit, hopped up V8 Ford in some two-toed shoes.
With his cover of the Social Distortion song Machine Gun Blues, that's Bobby Mahoney here in Little Steven's Underground Garage, the B-side to his latest single for Wicked Cool Records, Smoke and Drive. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Bobby for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza and Kurt Baker for producing our podcast. The Chesterfield Kings have got a new compilation. It's called Loose Ends, 1989 to 2004, rare B-sides and unreleased. And we'll find out all about it next time around when I'm joined by founding member Andy Babiuk on your Coolest Conversations presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.